Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. The Rock Ridge Rockets, they move to 3-0 on the season. They rack up nearly 600 yards again total offense last night. They went 48-12 over Riverdale. I think the closest the Rams got was a 14-6 in the second quarter. But, Coach, I think 20 points, three scores in the second quarter for the Rockets, and you put another game away, it looks like, in the first half last night.
Yeah, we did. You know, guys did a good job, and mentioned that on the radio post game last night that, you know, we had to talk with them midweek because it was a weird kind of sloppy, unenthused week of practice, and we kind of had to talk with the guys that you know, if that happens, it's going to carry over, and it kind of did there for the first quarter or so. It was almost had a feel of that Monmouth game where we were just moving the ball at will, but then either penalties or I think we had four turnovers, just something like that stalled a drive where you'd move it all the way down the field and then we have a hiccup. So, the good thing is as sloppy as it felt, and the turnovers and everything, is the guys still did a good enough job to pull away.
Well, and, you know, you move forward to next week, a week four matchup. Man, it's hard to believe a third of the regular season is already over. But, you know, one of the key measuring stick games, I think, of the Three Rivers Rock Division, I get them mixed up again, I'll say the small school side, was Newman and Orion last night. I think one of the next key game now will be Rock Ridge and Fulton. And really, the Steamers and the Rockets played two wonderful games last year, a regular season game and a postseason game. Those were two battles last year, and I tell you, that's going to be a marquee matchup in week four next week, isn't it?
Yeah, we feel like it is. You know, that score last night with Newman Orion was actually closer than I thought it was going to be. I went on a Saturday night and watched Newman for a little bit, and they looked pretty good. I honestly thought they'd kind of go over there and roll Newman, Orion. So I was, it just proves how good some of the teams are in this conference. You know, and I imagine it'll be the same way next week. Whoever wins, I think it'll be a close game, and I think it'll be a battle for us. But Fulton's there to the point where they're just one of those, marquee games in the on your schedule. Like you said, it's a tough division, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I know their physical style of play, really, the past couple of years, you know, has been, I think, the difference for them. They have some, you know, I just recollect last year, and I saw them play a little bit in the summer. They came over to Mercer County. They have some big, tough dudes. So what about, I guess the keys early next week, are, as we talked to you before, next week, but, I mean the physicality is going to be probably the big issue next week for the Rockets?
Yeah, and that's what we're going to have to match. There's no question we're going to lose the size battle or the eye test before the game. If you just line us up together, I mean, they're going to be way bigger than us. So, we're going to have to match their physicality, which we've done a pretty good job of. You know, we've been smaller than a lot of teams, and the guys just are physical, hard-nosed kids, and we're going to have to do that. Like you said, the last couple of years here, they've had some nice, big kids, and they're physical, and they've had some good skill athletes to go with it. And it's the same this year. You know, they have two of those backs back, the Rash kid, I can't remember his name, the number 30 halfback back. And I would say the keys right away are tackling those two guys. We got to be physical with them and tackle low and not miss any tackles. I think last night in that Riverdale game, that halfback's long run, I swear it looked like there were six guys on him driving him backwards, and he spins and rolls out of a tackle, and our whole big pile of guys go falling to the ground, and he's running to the end zone. So, you just can't do things like that. We got to tackle low and wrap, and that's not going to be different next week. If we make a mistake like that, it'll be a touchdown.
All right, I got to ask you, what do you think? How close to the ceiling is Federer? You know, I know we, you know, last year when you talked about his development, you know, no question, an improviser can make plays. You look to this year, his junior year, and, you know, still an improviser, but, you know, he must be playing within the confines of the system, too. But I ask you, you know, he's only, you know, three games into his junior year, you know, and is such a dual threat. Is he close to his ceiling yet, or has he still got a ways to go, you think? And I know most coaches are going to say that are listening, they're going to say, please, Graves, tell us that he's at his ceiling right now. But where do you think he's truly at in terms of development as a quarterback?
No, you know, that's the good thing about him is I think he'll only get better. And that's I know that's a spooky thing to say, but, you know, his understanding of defenses is getting better and better. Last year, like you said, I'm not trying to knock him because he's a heck of an athlete, but I think last year it was more of a playmaker making plays, and he had to see things in the passing game wide open to hit. And I think he missed a lot last year. And he'll be the first to tell you that, too, is that's what he needed to improve on. He'd have a 100 or a couple hundred yards rushing in parts or whatever, 100 or a couple hundred yards rushing in a game, and we'd have 60 or 80 or 100 yards passing. This year, you know, against Monmouth, I think he had 230 yards passing and all the rushing yards, and the same thing last night. I think he had 200 yards passing and like 240 or 50 yards rushing. So, you know, that's where it's starting to get better for him, and that's where he'll get more dangerous is he's understanding the passing game more. And like you said, he's starting to play within the system, and he knows what he's looking for. And I think as that understanding of defenses comes along, that you know, he'll get even better and better. I mean, the kid, sure, he'll be a good one.
All right. I know we've talked about a few things this year already with, you know, participation numbers, a lot of schools dealing with that, you know, kind of off-season commitment. And I was talking to Coach Munson last night and this morning over at Sherrard, and I know apparently there's some issues with numbers now at the junior high level, the Prairie Land Conference. People get that mixed up with the high school conference, but the local Prairie Land Conference for the junior high schools, Rock Ridge, Sherrard, Mercer County, Orion, Monmouth, Roseville, Knoxville. And, you know, there's a little hint now of potentially, you know, maybe IESA fall baseball making some inroads, and apparently some tough decisions going to be made about the future of junior high football, maybe. What do you think about youth football and junior high football as it relates to high school football? How important is that to you? Would it be an impact if it goes away? Do we need it? Just kind of your thoughts on that this morning.
Yeah. I've actually been... I think every time you ask me a question, it I'm not a popular guy, but
you're an honest guy though, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I tell you what, and I'm not saying the guys do a bad job that are here and help us out at Rock Ridge, but I've never been a fan of the JFL programs. I just think at that age, you know, if there's flag football leagues and stuff like that, that's fantastic for kids to get involved and excited about football. But I've never liked, you know, fourth and fifth graders putting on pads. I just think that there's too many kids, you know, developing and that are a little spooked of contact still, and they're getting put in situations where I think they're scared to death. And plus, I don't like the pigeonholing of kids where, well, this is this group's quarterback. You know, your kids develop so differently, and so some develop early and some develop late, and there's some kids that don't come out when they're seventh or eighth graders in junior high football because they've never played this position, or this kid is the quarterback or the halfback for this group, so I might as well not come out. And then you get the situation where there's kids that are scared to hit. You know, they took one decent pop and it scared them. And I know we have a coach on our coaching staff that feels the same way, because one of his kids didn't come out, and it was because he was scared of the contact in a younger grade. And you know, I like what they're trying to do. I like the effort, but you know, I just, as far as a numbers standpoint, I think you lose some of the kids because of who the starters are, and they're a little scared of contact, and maybe when they're a little older and more mature, they can handle it better if they didn't get spooked away with it when they were younger. And as far as junior high, you know, I think that's about the age. It's seventh and eighth grade is I wouldn't mind seeing it just flag football until they hit seventh and eighth grade, and then that's the first time they put on pads. And you know, I don't want to lose that. That's the one I don't want to lose. Because I sure don't want to see it to go to fall baseball. And that even hurts. I think that'll hurt the football numbers even more, because then we already talked one time about how there's sports that are going to year round. And I think that would hurt us, because then I think they'll transition to those fall baseball leagues coming into high school. So, you know, I hope we can keep it around in junior high. And you know, like I said, intentions are good, but I've never been a big fan of it, especially padded football at such a young age.
Coach, I love your answers. I'm just saying, I mean, the honesty of your answers. I always appreciate you answering the questions from the dumb Alito radio guy sometimes, but I know there's a lot of conversation about that stuff, and it's probably not going to be the last time I ask you a question like that. There's going to be a lot of conversation. All right, the game next week, Fulton and Rockridge. Where's that game at next week?
It's at Fulton.
All right, so hopefully the Rockets can travel well in the maroon and white up to Whiteside County, man. That'll be a fun night of high school football. Again, those two teams played two great games last year, one in the regular season, one in the postseason. As the Rockets roll to a 48-12 win over Riverdale last night, 3-0 now, and a big game with Fulton next Friday. Coach, nice going. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning.
Hey, thank you very much.
And to Sam Graves in Rockridge, we'll have more on WRMJ and WRMJ.com in a moment.